Today my guest is Kevin Griffin. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, second time guest.
At least.
Actually, this is more like my third or fourth time on, but you haven't aired the other videos.
We had some sound issues.
We did, so. Yeah.
They're my private collection.
Oh, okay. But we'll count this as my fourth time. How about that?
All right. You're dealing with a lot of cool technology because you're an evangelist and your job is to look at cool technology.
Absolutely.
And share it with people.
Yeah.
What's the latest cool thing?
So the coolest thing I'm working with right now is a technology called SignalR.
Mm-hmm.
SignalR is a asynchronous signaling library built by the ASP.NET team. It's open source, so people can fork it and send
it. It's built by Microsoft, but they've open sourced it.
Exactly. Okay. So it's like most stuff that the ASP.NET team is doing nowadays. NuGet's a good example. They're opening it up to the community for people to put in submissions, bug fixes. So it's not tightly closed like a...
There's a lot of cool stuff coming out of this.
Like a Windows or something. This is one of the latest brainchilds. The two big names working on it are Damian Edwards and David Fowler. They're both on the ASP.NET team.
Mm. So what is it?
So I called it a asynchronous signaling library, and in, I guess, more common terms, it allows you to build asynchronous web applications pretty easily. So as a longtime web developer, it's always been kind of the holy grail to make a web application work the same way as a connected client application. So that's why a lot of people flocked to Silverlight when Silverlight came out,
right?
Because we could do these robust experiences that we couldn't do with web pages.
Because of the stateless nature and disconnected nature of the web by default.
Pretty much. So Silverlight gave people a lot of flexibility that they didn't have with HTML and JavaScript. But a lot of that is slowly closing in on the gap. So I like to say I could build a web application that works identical, if not better, than a Silverlight application can.
In many cases, that's true. There are still some things that it's hard to do in HTML5.
I agree with that, but I still think that gap is narrowing.
I totally agree. I'm in violent agreement.
So in the next 2 years, when Silverlight's completely dead, don't be a Silverlight developer.
That was Kevin Griffin saying that.
So you can edit that out later. Because that gap's narrowing, most people are going to flock to HTML. Even the Windows team has admitted that HTML is the future.
No question that HTML5 is a valuable skill to have, and that JavaScript is a valuable skill.
Absolutely.
No question about that at all. Whatever your feelings about Silverlight?
Silverlight, it's just the idea of having a plugin to deploy an application to a group of users. I've never liked that idea. Mm-hmm. I've done my share of Flash development in the past, and it's always a painful experience. Yeah. Because you're dealing with different versions, making sure people are up to date. And then there's been a lot of common scenarios where the plugins just don't work. It'll work on one person's machine just fine, but not on another person's.
Okay.
With HTML5, I don't have to worry about that.
Mostly.
Well, if you're running IE4, you know, you're in a whole different world of hurt.
All right. So let's get back to SignalR. How does that work?
So SignalR is a combination of a plugin on your web server and a JavaScript file.
Okay.
And what you do is you go on, we'll start on the server.
All right, does that have to be Windows and IIS?
Yes. Well, no, but I'll get to that later.
All right.
Okay, so for this discussion, let's just assume it's all ASP.NET that you're dealing with. You go into your ASP.NET site. Doesn't matter if you're using web forms or if you're using MVC or you're doing your own brand of ASP.NET, whatever. If you go in there with SignalR, you create something that's called a hub. So a hub is just a central place where clients can connect.
Okay.
On Windows Phone, there's the people hub. There's the game hub. It's a central place that you go to do stuff.
Okay.
So when you create this hub, you say... you can create methods on it. So let's say I'm building a chat application, and I want a user to be able to call into my server and send a message.
Mm-hmm.
So I can create a message on there called send message or process message. Doesn't matter. Well, when I create this method on the server, what I really want to do is I want to call it from the client.
Okay.
So what SignalR does is when I install the JavaScript file on the web page and I run that page for the first time, it's going to connect up to the server. It's going to negotiate a connection path, but then it's going to find out what methods are available on that server.
Okay.
So it gets back this dynamic JavaScript file. I call it a proxy. I don't know if that's the official term.
Okay.
But
that file is the signatures of the methods on the server?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a
proxy. So now the client, the web page, knows about what it can do on the server. So if I have a chat application, I can type in a text box, I can hit enter. And when I hit enter, I can have JavaScript that calls that method dynamically on the server.
Hmm.
So normally, if you wanted to do something like that, that part is easy. So making a call to the server at dynamic times.
Yeah, just done AJAX libraries.
Yeah, we've done that in the past. But the problem is, I'm not trying to solve the going from the client to the server. We've done that. That's pretty much how the web's worked for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. But I want the server to be able to send information to the client.
Okay, and let me just to clarify this. This is, you want the clients to receive information from the server without them explicitly asking for each message.
Yeah.
So instead of this request, response,
yes.
You want just to say subscribe.
Yep.
And then response as messages become
exactly.
Available. Another response.
If I'm writing a chat application, I don't want to have to keep pulling the server for new snippets of data.
That'd be a very chatty chat application.
It is. And if you wanted to build a real-time application in the past, you would have to do either iterative polling, and then the new way is long polling.
Uh-huh.
So iterative polling is on a timer every 1 second, 10 seconds, minute, whatever interval you want. The client's going to connect up to the server just to see if there's data available.
Yep.
If there is, cool, we pull that data down and we do something with it. But what if there's not?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm polling for just regular updates every 10 seconds, well, maybe I only get data every 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So how many wasted cycles am I using to connect to the server to get nothing?
Right.
What SignalR does is it... one, takes care of that transport negotiation for you. So if you're running a newer browser, a newer web server, say IIS 8, and you're using Firefox or Chrome or IE10, you can use WebSockets. So WebSockets are the holy grail of peer-to-peer connection on the web.
Okay.
So I can open a connection and just leave it open.
Hmm.
I would say for ASP.NET developers, that's going to cover 5% of use cases until Windows 8 drops, or Windows Server 8. Most other people are going to use the second method, long polling.
Mm-hmm.
Long polling is the idea of my web client opens up connection to the server and just leaves it open.
Okay, that doesn't sound very scalable.
So we'll get to that.
Okay.
So I open up the connection to the server, and when the server is ready to send data back to the client, it uses that existing pipe.
Okay.
So if we go back to our example where I was polling every 10 seconds, but I only get data every 2 minutes.
Right.
With SignalR and long polling, I connect up to the server once, and after 2 minutes, it sends data back. I've only opened one connection mm-hmm. instead of, I don't know, do the math, however many times I would open up a connection 2 minutes. Yeah. So I've already saved myself bandwidth there.
Yep.
And
well, at least connections.
Exactly.
So is the long polling, is that what SignalR is using?
It negotiates the connection. So there's there's a couple different ways that SignalR...
So it's not using sockets. It's not using this... polling every few seconds. It's using long polling. Those are the three options that you
described.
So
it can use different types of negotiation. or a connection
negotiation. It's up to you, the developer, to decide.
Yes, okay. Or SignalR will fall back to a default that it finds appropriate.
Oh, I see.
SignalR, if you don't give it any options, it's going to find the best way to connect for you.
Okay. But what's the limiting factor? Is it the browser?
Yeah, it's browser and the web server.
Okay.
So, like, if I wanted to do WebSockets, I have to be running IIS 8. Hmm. IIS 7 doesn't support WebSockets. But how many people out there are running a production IIS 8 server? Right. It's still not even beta yet, the consumer preview stuff. So you're only doing that in testing. So
well, let's talk about the developer experience. What exactly do I need to install on the server? What code do I need to write? And what do I need to install on the client? What code do I need to write?
So installing SignalR is pretty easy. We go to NuGet. There's a NuGet package for SignalR, and if you're installing into an ASP.NET site, it downloads all the ASP.NET specific stuff, installs all the JavaScript stuff that you need, and it does all the wiring for you behind the scenes.
So these are references I'm going to add to my ASP.NET project. Okay.
If you want to go the hard way, you can go to GitHub, you can pull down the source yourself and do all the installation.
And then I need to write some code to call those APIs in those assemblies, right?
No, all you have to do is go create the hub to handle the incoming connections.
What does that mean, to create the hub?
Like I said, the hub is the central connect piece for anything that connects to our server. You don't have to wire up the connections behind the scenes. You just create the place that it's going to go.
Okay.
SignalR will use Reflection to figure out what code's there.
Okay.
And expose that to all the clients.
How does it know? How does SignalR know that this is a hub?
Uses inherits from a hub object.
So I create a class that inherits from this hub object.
Exactly.
And then it knows. Are there methods I need to override?
Nope.
It just knows.
Nope. Start adding your own stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. And then my client then is going to somehow communicate with that hub.
Yep.
Through JavaScript, right?
So on your website, you include the SignalR JS file. But then you include this script for the SignalR hub proxy generator. Okay. It's a real simple URL. It's signalr/hub.
So that's the dynamically created JavaScript.
Yep.
It actually goes out to my hub, reads the methods that are there,
yes,
and it generates JavaScript to call those methods.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it now. So I get a picture of it now.
So when I'm in JavaScript, I call these methods the same way I would call them if I was in C sharp.
Okay, you've got a sample over here. Let's take a look at it.
All right. All right. So this is a demo I wrote using SignalR and Twilio. Twilio, if you're not familiar with it, is a voice and SMS service for applications. So if you need to handle any SMS or voice communication with an application, Twilio is a great solution for it. What I did here is I registered a Twilio phone number, and I'm handling SMS communications that go through that phone number. So with this demo, if you take out a cell phone, you send an SMS to the number, Twilio will send the contents of that text message to my MVC site, and my MVC site will process that and use SignalR to notify any connected clients about the new text message. So I'm going to send a text message over. So sent. And what should happen is that both clients at the same time updated with the new data. So imagine if you have 100 or 1,000 connected clients. They're all receiving the data at the same time.
Let's look at that source code. I want to see the JavaScript.
Sure. All right, so this is just some of the JavaScript I had to write. The important thing to note is that there's technically only three lines that really matter to SignalR. The rest of it's just for display purposes. So the first line that's important is this one right here, where I create a chat variable. And all I'm doing is caching a connection to the hub that I created up on the server. So SignalR uses the connection object to handle all the connections between this page and the server. And using Reflection, it's going to create a connection to the Twilio hub. That's the name of my class up on the server. So we'll cache that connection. And then the next part is I'm going to add a method call to it. So I have a method call here for adding messages. It's going to pass in three parameters. First is going to be the phone number that the text message came from, then the actual body of the message, and then the from location. So depending on where the phone number is based, it's going to give you a city, state, and zip code. With that information, I use JS Render to create some HTML for the actual content of the message. And then I use jQuery to pop that onto the stack. And I have a tool called Isotope.js that does the pretty animation. But the thing to note is that this is a client-side method that I'm attaching to my SignalR hub. And then finally down here at the bottom, I'm telling SignalR to start the connection between the client and the server. This is going to do two major things. First, it's going to negotiate the connection. It's going to figure out the best way to communicate. So whether it's WebSockets, if it's long polling, if it's using event source, there's a couple other connection types that you may or may not be able to use. When that's done, it fires a callback, and it will call a method on the hub called getOld. All that does is get any cached messages that are on the server. But this is making a server-side call from JavaScript. SignalR is taking care of all the wiring behind the scenes to make that call. So this call goes up to the server. It requests all the old data. The stuff on the server is going to make a client-side call. So it's going to call a method called addMessage with all the message details. Well, I already have addMessage defined, and because SignalR is always talking back and forth with itself, it knows that that client-side method exists. So it's going to call back into the client code with the relevant parameters, and that's how it all works. So the one question that a lot of people might be asking is, how does the web client know about this Twilio hub? And the simple answer is that up at the top of my page, I have a script to include for a path called SignalR/hubs. This doesn't point to a physical file on the web server. It points to a dynamic route. So this isn't the same as the MVC route, so it doesn't matter if you're using web forms or MVC. SignalR is going to catch this request as it comes in, and it's going to generate some proxy code. So if I find my mouse here, where's my mouse at? Oh, there it is. If I click on this file, it's going to show JavaScript in the browser. This is all dynamically created by SignalR. And a lot of it is not worth explaining. Well, let's say zoom down to right here. This is where the magic happens. SignalR will extend itself to create an object called Twilio Hub. This relates back to my class on the server. And then you'll notice here that it has a couple methods defined. One's called getHold. I make a call to getOld on the Twilio hub object. Well, this is how JavaScript knows that that method actually exists, because SignalR is doing the reflection for us. And then it does a call. SignalR knows how to make this call back to the server and to actually call that method. So it's all man behind the curtain stuff. So you don't have to worry about how it works, just know that it works.
Kevin, that's very cool. Is that I like the idea of a chat application. That seems like an ideal use case for this. Are there other places where you might use something like this?
I've seen a couple other cool demos where someone was building a real-time line of business data entry application. Mm-hmm. So if you're on a page that a coworker is on, your data is being reflected at the same time that their data is being reflected. Mm-hmm. So if I change a value, it gets pushed up to the server. It notifies any other connected clients. And you all have the same view in sync.
Oh, you can build something like Google Docs, where you can collaborate on a document together. Something like that. Oh, very nice. So maybe a dashboard where
that's actually information
is coming up in real time. And
it's another demo I usually do.
If it's a threshold, then you want to know about that right away without refreshing the page.
Yep.
Nice.
I have a voting app that I work on where it's a pie chart, and people can come in, they can vote for pie or cake. And if you vote for pie or cake, it updates the pie chart with the current number of votes.
If you vote for pie, it updates the pie chart, and if you vote for cake, it updates the cake chart?
It doesn't. At least not in V1. In V2, we might do that. But there, I've seen a lot of cool demos. The most popular demo is actually by the ASP.NET team. It's called Jabber. It's a like IRC clone, so it's a chat application, but it's a chat application on steroids. It does a lot of cool stuff. So if you go to Jabber, just join one of the rooms. It's actually the best place to get Signal or tech support, because that's where the guys hang out all day.
So they're seriously dogfooding this stuff.
They are. They're doing great stuff with it.
All right. So if I want to get started, where would I go?
So if you want to get started, go to signalr.net or github.com/signalr.
And that's where all the documentation is and the samples are.
Yep.
And I can just use NuGet to get to actually build the application.
Yeah. But by itself, you'll want to go through some of the wiki stuff on GitHub to get familiar, pull down some of the samples. Mm-hmm. They have a great sample smorgasbord of the different things you can do. One last thing to touch on is that there's also clients out there for Silverlight, Windows Phone. There's even some people working on iOS clients. So while the demos I do are focused around ASP.NET and web applications, that doesn't mean that we're stuck to that paradigm. So if I build a whole service around ASP.NET, I can easily build a client for Windows Phone, and it works the exact same way. They've even just released some stuff that lets you self-host SignalR. So if you don't want to rely on ASP.NET as the backend, you can host it in your own client server setup.
Interesting.
So in the early versions, it was very tightly coupled to ASP.NET.
Sure.
In the past recent version, they completely decoupled it, so it can run on its own.
And this is a full product, right? This is not there's no beta number on this, or.
It's version 0.4 at the moment.
Okay, so still haven't officially said that it's a supported product, but they are supporting it.
So it's in there. You can download it now. They're just hoping for a V1 by release.
Kevin, thanks a lot.
Absolutely, really it's cool a pleasure stuff. Talking with you. Signal R technology lets me talk asynchronously with my friends.